Good morning. My name is Christy. It's really wonderful to be here reading the Bible for you today, whether you're in person or at home. Today we are reading Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. But before we read, please join me as I pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather today, wherever we are located, to praise you and grow your kingdom. Lord, you know the heartache that is happening around your world through many different situations. We ask that you guide us and give us wisdom as we look to love and care for those around us and those far away. May you give us peace and comfort through our uncertainties, anxieties, and times of grief. Thank you that you are sovereign over it all. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Thank you for the Bible, your word, so we can be taught and reminded of all you have done and continue to do for us. And most of all, thank you for Jesus, who has all things under his feet and gives us our salvation. We pray that the eyes of our hearts may be open today as we read and hear your teachings to us. And we thank you for Josiah as he leads us today through your word. We pray all these things through the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So let's read from Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
There's a famous scene in C.S. Lewis's book, The Screwtape Letters. If you haven't read it before, it's a book about this old demon named Screwtape and his nephew, an apprentice demon named Wormwood. Now, Wormwood is assigned a patient, a person, and Wormwood just has one mission. It's to make sure that this person knows nothing of Christ, knows nothing of the power and goodness and grace of God. Now, as you read the book, in one crucial moment, we learn that his patient has just become a Christian. But cunning old Screwtape isn't concerned. He says, let him confess Christ, just don't let him love God deeply. See, he says, there's no need to despair. Hundreds of these adult converts have been reclaimed after a brief sojourn in the enemy's camp and are now with us. All the habits of the patient, both mental and bodily, are still in our favor. It's a powerful line, and it's a great book. It warns us about the sinister powers that are working against us. But for us who follow Jesus, we know there's an even greater power at work in us. It's the power of Christ risen and reigning over all other powers. And the work of Christ in us is to make us people who are always growing, always seeking to know more and more, changing in the deepest parts of who we are. But here's the danger. You could become someone who confesses Christ with your lips, but remain unchanged in your heart, unmoved by the love of God, and the habits of your heart stay wedded to all sorts of other loves. Now, look, everyone faces times in life where you just feel stuck. Look, maybe your faith has lost fire. Maybe you feel like you're not growing. You might feel really discouraged right now. You want to know and love God, but it's a struggle and it's hard. And look, that's okay. That's normal, and we all face struggles like that, because the real danger is when there is no struggle, no hunger to know God deeply, to lose your taste for the love and grace and power of Christ. So today we're looking closely at Paul's prayer here in Ephesians 1. Last week we saw Paul praising God for all that he's done in Christ, for the rich blessings that are now ours in Christ. And here we see Paul praying that we would know these blessings, that we would hunger for more and more of God. Open your heart and see, says Paul. So let's have a look at this. Paul writes to this church, and you notice Paul's thankful for them. So that's verse 15. He says, I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. I've heard of your love for all of God's people. See, this is a good church. The people are devoted to Christ. They're also devoted to one another. And yet Paul prays for a deeper devotion still. He says, I don't want you to stop growing. Because the danger is when you stop. See, it's like a rower, right? You're in danger when you stop. Because when you stop, you're drifting. You're being pulled by the current. Who knows where? So look at verse 17. Paul says, I'm praying for you. He says, I keep asking. Don't stop, says Paul. Keep going. Keep growing. There is still more of God to know and to enjoy. And so Paul prays for the work of the Spirit, that the Spirit of God would give wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know Him better. See, this is the life that God is calling you into. In every season and every circumstance, God's Spirit is with you to take you deeper into true knowledge. But what kind of knowledge? Because sometimes I reckon we think of knowledge as just stuff you know about, facts and figures that sits in your brain. But you know, there's nothing in Scripture that's just there for you to know intellectually, like with your mind, like study notes for an exam that you memorized one time that got filed away in a cabinet somewhere. To know God is practical, it's relational and experiential, and most of all, it's personal, because it's the person of the Spirit, you see. It's the Spirit who dwells in you, the Spirit of God who is working in you and works with you, that you might know and love God in the deepest parts of who you are. See, truly knowing God is like the difference between believing that honey is sweet and actually having the taste of its sweetness. So you can have an opinion that God is good and loving and gracious, but it's the Spirit of God who truly opens your heart to know His sweetness, to taste and see that God is good. So Paul prays for our eyes. Paul prays for open eyes and for an open heart. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Remember, this is just what happened to Paul. Remember when he was blind to God and his heart was closed, but Jesus suddenly appears to him on the Damascus Road. He blinds him with light, and then Paul's heart comes open to God. See, that's what happened to Paul. And Paul says it still happens. When the Spirit of God is working, eyes come open. Hearts come alive. And do you notice, though, that Paul's prayer is for people who already have the Spirit? In other words, this isn't just something that happens when you first become a Christian. The Spirit of God is always working to open the eyes of your heart that you might see and know and love God more and more. See, God is working in you by His Spirit. You can be sure of that. Your work is to receive the Spirit and to keep on receiving the work of the Spirit, to keep asking God for the help of the Spirit. You know, some Christians will say, well, if it is the work of the Spirit, then it's up to God. So who's really responsible for my growth? Is it me or is it God? Well, that's a trick question because it's both. You will grow only by the grace of God, but God's grace works in you and with you and not without you. So you won't ever find someone who's mature in Christ who just somehow drifted into maturity, like it just happens. Maturity is the long road of obedience and dependence on the Spirit of God. It takes effort to cooperate with God's Spirit. So Paul says God's Spirit is working in us. God yearns for you to know Him better. But it's our part to take hold of what God has already given for us. The riches of His blessings to us in Christ, the gift of His Holy Spirit in our hearts, and to exercise our faith. And so Paul gives us three things to seek after. Here's three things to hunger for, things which are already ours in Christ, but which must continually be received in us by faith. So have a look. Paul's going to talk about the hope of your calling, His glorious inheritance, and His great power for us who believe. So let's have a look at this. First, Paul talks about the hope of your calling. You know, it takes effort to take hold of this hope that God has for us. You know, when our lives are filled with things that might discourage us, that might cause us to despair, you know, when our minds are more attentive to the events and the crises in our world, we will have no hope. But hope that is real and true and not fake, that kind of hope comes when we are attentive to God and what He is doing. What is God doing in our world? And what is God doing in us? See, this is the hope of your calling. Second, Paul talks about knowing the riches of God's glorious inheritance. Now, sometimes the Bible talks about our inheritance which God gives to us, the promise of His riches in Christ. But here Paul is talking about God's inheritance. It's us. We are God's inheritance. We are His treasured prize, His special possession. And you know, there's an echo here of the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. When God took Israel out of all the nations of the world to be His inheritance. So have a look. This is Deuteronomy 4. But as for you, the Lord took you and brought you out of the iron smelting furnace, out of Egypt, to be the people of His inheritance, as you now are. Israel were God's chosen people, His special inheritance. But remember last week, after Paul recalls all these blessings of God that were first to the Jews, but now also for us, Gentiles, non-Jews. And Paul says, you remember this from last week, you were included in Christ. It means that God has now put His claim on you. You belong to God and you are His precious child. So Ephesians 1 verse 14 says, we are God's possession. So to know the riches of God's glorious inheritance, it's to know your worth in the eyes of God. Because when you know Christ, God doesn't just open your eyes to see His worth, He opens your eyes to see your worth in Him. Do you see that? Do you see this great value that God places on your life? Do you see the price He paid to claim you as His own? He sees you in Christ and He considers your worth accordingly. You are his great prize. He delights in you. He loves you and treasures you. You know, sometimes as Christians, we can be the most guilt-ridden and insecure people. We can live tormented by the cruel words of our minds or beaten down by who we think we should be. And if that's you today, will you come now and see your worth in the eyes of God? Will you let his Spirit open your eyes to see yourself the way he sees you? So Paul is inviting us to know this hope. It's the hope of our calling, the hope of us who are God's special possession, his great prize. And finally, Paul wants us to know his power that's working in you. This is what Paul prays, to know God's incomparably great power for us who believe. He says, this isn't just the power of the cross. It's also the power of the resurrection. And more than that, it's the power of Christ who is right now at the right hand of God, seated in the heavenly realms. Paul says he reigns from there far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. See, this is the risen and reigning rule of Christ. Now, it's true that there are great powers that work against us, subtle powers and sinister powers, and we don't live blind to that reality. You know, we want to be people who live with open eyes, but we also live with open eyes to our risen Lord and his incomparably great power for us who believe. I wonder, do you believe this? That there is resurrection power at work in you. That the power at work in your life is the same power that seated Christ in the heavenlies. The power of Christ risen and reigning. You know, I wonder how often we really think about that. That Christ is reigning now at his Father's side. That he stands above every power at work in this world. You know, maybe sometimes we tend to think that Jesus is up there somewhere and he's preparing a place for us. And we look forward to that future day where we'll join him there. But right now we're waiting. And while we wait, our lives can get filled with so many worries. Our minds can get busy and anxious. And we fight to keep control. And we've stopped seeing that Jesus is in control. He is our risen Lord. He reigns from heaven. Everything, all powers are under his feet. And by his Spirit, heaven joins earth. God has met with us with his loving grace and his great power by his Spirit. And so absolutely, we have a great hope ahead of us. And we should long for that. The best things are yet to come in eternity. But don't ever live like God is distant or like God is indifferent, like he doesn't care. Because God has moved heaven and earth to bring you near to him. This is what Paul is opening our eyes to see. May we receive what he has given for us. Will you join me as we pray together? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we want to give you thanks that your great plan of salvation means that we have this great hope, a heavenly hope, an eternal hope. Lord, you have won for us a victory and something that will never perish or spoil or fade. Lord, we have been brought into your kingdom, but most precious to us, we have been brought into your family. We are your sons and daughters. We belong to you. Lord, we have no claim on you or on the riches of your blessings that you would offer us. But Father, we know that you have put your claim on us. You have made us your special possession. Lord, would you open our eyes to see our great worth in you? And would you open our hearts to receive your Spirit at work in us and to rest in your resurrection power that rules our hearts, but that also rules this world that we live in. And so, Father, we pray now with hearts filled with your hope. We pray that you would increase our faith so that we might know you better. In Jesus' name, amen.